when my doctor says you've got to lose 100 pounds, and I cried because at that point I really had tried some plant-based stuff. I tried low fat, I tried calorie restricting, I tried so much exercise. Nothing was helping. And I said, I don't know how to lose 100 pounds. I've tried.
Yeah.
And he said, it's the carbs.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to my channel. I have one of the OG carnivores in this carnivore lifestyle, Kelly Hogan. Kelly has been carnivore for 12 and a half years and has lost 120 pounds. Kelly, thank you so much for being here. It is such a pleasure to have you on my channel.
I'm excited to finally talk with you. I've watched you before and I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
So I want to know everything about you, but firstly, how did you start this carnivore lifestyle? Because 12 and a half years ago, I don't think anybody knew about carnivore. Or it wasn't as popular as it is now.
Now, that is true. It was not as popular as it is now, but there were definitely other people already doing it. In fact, I mean, I've had people say, how did you start carnivore? They didn't even have smartphones, which is so funny to me because...
Me too. Like, only 12 years ago. Everybody's using a smartphone now, but only 12 years ago, we didn't have smartphones. It's very true.
No, we didn't. So I was on a very boxy PC computer. My old school, it wasn't a Mac, just a PC. And I discovered this webpage called Zeroing In on Health. And it was very much already there. But I'll tell you that for 5 years before that, I was doing my own version of like almost carnivore. And it was based on one incredible conversation with an awesome man named Dr. Benjamin Dunlap. And he was the doctor, just local guy in my hometown, family physician. And he was, I guess, in his 70s then. He's in his mid 80s, almost maybe 90s. So I don't know. He was pretty old then. He's really old now. And he is retired. He's retired, but he retired to take care of his wife. From what I understood, he was still in good health. So this guy, he said to me, he had seen me many times because I had so much inflammation. I was 260 pounds and I kept getting boils on my skin. And some people are like, you mean like a zit? Oh, no. It's like a zit on steroids. Well, sometimes people have to get steroids. Oh my gosh. It would start off like maybe like somebody would describe like an ingrown hair. And then it would not go away and it would get so infected that I would have to go and he would have to literally cut it open and drain all the mess out and stuff it with gauze. And I had to do this over and over and over. And I would get them on my legs, on my thighs, on my butt, on my butt. It was not fun.
Would you attribute that to your diet or was it like any underlying condition that you had at the time?
Well, when I kept looking online, it was all about hygiene. Oh, you got to use a certain soap. Make sure you're washing. I was like, what am I doing wrong? And I have still had people almost every week who say it was diet related. So I make sure I really try to mention the boil situation because a lot of people are still dealing with this and they're blaming themselves for like not being clean enough. For me, it was not a cleanliness issue. The doctor said, we're going to just keep doing this until either one of us dies. I was like, holy cow. or until you lose at least 100 pounds.
Okay.
Water works because I had struggled with weight. I mean, even in high school, I would yo-yo diet and I would starve down and eat almost nothing until I couldn't take it. And then I would binge and oh my gosh.
When we were younger, it was all about the calories. It was all about lowering your calories, eating a high carb diet, exercising a lot. And then again, I would do the same thing, eating less, then I would binge.
Mm-hmm. Strict, binge, repeat.
Yeah.
Strict, you can't take it, binge till you've lost your mind and then repeat. Yeah, a lot of people still caught in that cycle. You asked me if I had ever suffered with sugar addiction.
Yes.
So I was in the marching band. I loved marching band so much. My husband and I were both the drum majors. We were so into it. But every year they would do these fundraisers to go on our trips. And they would literally give us a cardboard suitcase full of full-sized candy bars. The best candy bars. I would name them, but I don't want to trigger anybody. And they would say, here's your box. And I think it was 40 candy bars in a box. And they would say, when you bring back your $40 after you've sold them, we'll give you a new box. You can do it. And you just do it on repeat for the whole season until you'd raised enough money to go on a trip.
Yes.
Girl. Here I am in high school with a weight problem I've struggled with my whole life. This did not help because I would literally just go. I had a job. I was working at Taco Bell. I would raise my money, eat the candy bars, hand them the $40, get another suitcase. And it was like, well, at least we're raising money for the band trip.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I tried. I would tell myself, you're not going to eat this box. You're going to sell it to other people. You're not going to do it. You know what? I knew this wasn't good, but I was like powerless carrying around a box. Of, it'll be like, you know,
Kelly, I did the same thing. I did the same thing. Have you heard of Freddo Frogs?
No.
So in Australia, so I'm from Australia. So in Australia, we have these Freddo Frogs. So it's in the shape of a frog and we have these jumbo size Freddo Frogs and they were delicious. And we used to have these fundraisers where we'd walk around having these like boxes and we'd sell it for like $2. I would get the $2 and put the $2 in there and eat them all. And you have no control. And it's like, it's for a good cause. It's okay. And
I really think, I mean, now knowing what I know about sugar, I feel like this should be absolutely illegal to put so much sugar in the hands of teenagers and children and just trust them to walk around with it all day. But it was a nightmare for me. So that did not help. And then I would, you know, binge on the candy, then restrict for like several days till I couldn't take it, then binge on the candy. That was just life. All right, fast forward to age 25 when my doctor says you've got to lose 100 pounds, and I cried because at that point I really had tried some plant-based stuff. I tried low fat, I tried calorie restricting, I tried so much exercise, nothing was helping. And I said, I don't know how to lose 100 pounds. I've tried.
Yeah.
And he said, it's the carbs. This was in 2004.
He was really smart at that time to actually know that it was the carbs, because that wasn't really well known then, I don't think.
No. So
Atkins, nobody was talking about carbs.
No, Dr. Atkins had started by 2004. He was talking about carbs. But I was 25. I had not read any Atkins books. I didn't really know what it was about. And I was like, oh, what's a carb? He's like, so he had this little brochure, and on one side it showed everything I normally ate, which was mostly cereal because I thought that was supposed to be healthy and good for us. Lots of cereal and pasta, potatoes, breads, all the things that I thought were fine. And it even had starchy vegetables. Well, I said potatoes, but even like corn and carrots, the higher sugary vegetables.
Yeah, but then those are the things that we think are healthy. Corn.
That's right.
You know
and
what
he's
I mean?
Like, don't eat anything on this side of the paper for 1 year. And I hadn't seen the other side. So I was like, what else is there to eat? And so he flips it over. He said, anything on this side, eat as much as you want. I said, but how many like calories? That was so ingrained in me. He said, I'm serious. As long as it's on this side and you don't touch anything on the other side, I don't care. I'll see you in a year. Well, that was laughable to me at that point because I was going in so often for the boils, but that was the last time I had a boil lanced. And that was 17 years ago. Never, not one boil. Wow. And I know some people, it takes some time, but mine were more sporadic. So people have said, how long did it take? Well, let's say I got one per month. So maybe it took a full month. You know, I can't say, I just know I never got another one again. That was that.
Okay.
In 1 year, I had lost 80 pounds because I was not playing around. All I really needed was somebody to give me a very clear plan.
Yes.
And then I looked into some of the, I didn't like dive in on the science or anything. I really just wanted the scale to move. That was it.
Yes.
And I did look into a little bit like, oh, and I started getting into testing my blood sugar, and I could literally see. Back then, you know, we didn't have CGMs. I was just pricking my finger all the time. I was like, oh my gosh, even sugar alcohols will make my blood sugar go up, like these sugar-free candies.
Yeah.
So I toyed around with that a little bit, and nuts. I was like, even like peanuts will make my blood sugar go up. So
you were eating peanut sugar-free candies and then testing your blood sugar, and then you could see that it would elevate, although it's zero carb.
That's right. No, people who are really sensitive, even if it says zero carb, it was going up.
So that's the thing. Yeah.
But for me, diet soda, I found out at that point, did not make it go up. So for 5 years, and this was not considered part of what I call a carnivore, because I cannot even tell you how night and day these 5 years were from the past 12 and a half. But for those 5 years, I ate a lot of meat. I had a little bit of, he said pickles. That was on the side. That was okay. Pickles and green beans.
Okay.
And leafy greens, but I had no time for that. I did like pickles. So I ate pickles. That's what I did for 5 years, along with diet sodas.
Okay.
And it was awful. It was awful. It worked. So I did not get boils and I lost a lot of weight.
So initially you actually didn't like the diet.
I liked that it worked. I liked that I was not heavy anymore. I liked not getting boils, but I had horrible cravings for 5 years because hello, diet soda. I didn't know that was the problem. Okay. So then fast forward through those 5 years of basically just like nail biting. It was me living in diet world because the idea of nothing tastes as good as skinny feels, that was me. And now I don't feel that way because, well, okay. So fast forward to 2009, when I met some real carnivores who were like, oh, well, your before and after pictures look great. How do you feel? It's like, I mean, I'm hanging in there.
Aww.
And they were like, are you still having cravings? I said, oh my gosh, for sugar? Yes, horrible. And they were trying to get to the heart of it. They're like, it could be the pickles. But by then I had pretty much cut those out.
Yeah.
I was really just eating meat and drinking diet soda. Looking back, it seems so obvious and dumb, but I thought it's diet soda. There's no sugar.
And there's no calories. There's no sugar.
And my blood sugar wouldn't go up with it. I'm like, but my blood sugar is steady.
Yeah.
So it seemed to make sense. And they said, no, please give this a shot. I was like, but I really love, it's all I have left is my diet Dr. Pepper. It's all I have left. And but if you can do this one thing, give it even a few days or a week. What if it takes 2 weeks? You could be free from it. So it took 3 days. Three pretty hard days, actually. Pretty hard days. Because my husband was all the time. He loved them too. And so I was constantly around it. But I remember.
Did you have any side effects? Because diet soda has caffeine. Did you have any side effects from stopping the diet soda?
All I remember is just wanting it really bad. I don't tend to get headaches. So I've done coffee for years of carnivore. I've done zero coffee for years of carnivore.
Okay.
I don't tend to get like the awful headaches or any weird side effects. I just really enjoyed it. And I just missed it so bad. It's all I thought about for 3 days. But that night of the third day, I said to James, I was like, I feel like it's easier tonight watching you drink that diet soda. And the next morning, I did feel a distinct difference. I didn't think about sugar all day like I had been for literally 5 years. So that was a big change for me. The other thing they told me was, are you eating enough fat?
Yes.
And I wasn't. Yes. I was not eating enough fat. I was, in fact, almost purposefully still, the doctor didn't tell me, by the way, Kelly, when you cut out carbs, you're going to have to eat a lot of fat. There was no fat mentioned. So I was still trying to be very moderate with my fat. And then once they told me, like, go for it, you got to have something to fuel your body, I started to look so much better. So even though I had lost weight during 5 years, I had sunken like dark eyes. I didn't look great. I just looked thin. And I was like, good enough. We'll take it. My period had stopped, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you actually did those few years of like just doing like a lower fat kind of meats and just having diet soda, your period stopped. So your hormones were not regulated.
That's right. So there is a right way for someone's
and a
body
wrong
to
way. Yeah,
it was no, not true. Enough to just cut out. People are like, it's all about the seed oils and the sugars and the carbs. That is part of it, controlling what you keep out.
Yeah.
But my period stopped because I wasn't putting the right things in.
Right.
So I really had 5 years of not doing it where I felt great.
And probably then, at that time, you probably also wanted to like have kids because you were 25. Going
well,
on to
at
30.
The end of that 5 years, I was 30.
Yeah, so and you wanted to have kids. Stopped.
Yes. I had been married for several years by this point. I got married when I was 23. So I was pretty young. And I was ready for some babies. No period. And this is what the carnivores kept saying to me. They're like, you have to get fat. And you need to really not just cut out the stuff that's bad, but give your body what it needs. So they encouraged me to eat lots of fatty steak. And I did.
Okay.
And I felt so much better immediately. And the color came back in my face. I looked less like shriveled up. You can see pictures of me before. And I really did. I looked very much older at that point than I do now.
Yeah.
Fat. Ladies, if you're watching this right now, please eat the fatty meat. Keeping out sugar and carbs, that is awesome. But eat fatty meat.
So prior to us just filming, so Kelly and I were like talking and we said, Kelly is 43. I said, you are kidding that you're 43. Your skin is amazing. And it's just the thanks. Because it's the fat. It makes your skin beautiful. It makes it have a gorgeous color. It's so important. And it also makes you feel full. That's the only thing, even for me, that makes me feel not wanting to eat more food, not having those cravings, not craving sweets, not craving just more and more food. When I travel for work or when I have to like go out, socialize, I can tell the food is so lean and I get hangry.
So I can do leaner carnivore. Chicken is fine for me for even a couple days in a row. It's
really
fine. Yes, I can do it a couple days in a row. And then I have to do like full all out like fat day where I just eat the fattiest short ribs where there's just a fat layer on it like that. And I'll eat half a stick of butter. I kind of enjoy these days doing like leaner some days and then all of the fat some days. Well, I did exclusively beef for the first probably 7 or 8 months when I started real full-blown carnivore in 2009, where I was eating the fat.
Okay.
So that was no dairy. We didn't even use, when I say we, the zeroing in on health community that I found did not even do seasonings back then.
Wow.
Not even salt.
You're
typically
kidding.
No. That was a thing back then. The whole salt thing of today where carnivore, it's almost like salt is a food group. People say, I just do beef, salt, and water. That is new. I mean, new in the last few years. Back when I started, most people ate unseasoned beef and only water. It was considered like, oh, if I'm going to a party, I might have some seltzer. Seriously. That's how like hardcore it was. It was just
really?
Still water. No coffee, no pepper, no salt, just beef. And that's
what did you? So what did you eat? Like if it's just beef, like was it just like ribeyes, steaks?
I bought a lot of chuck roast because I was younger and a little poorer at that point.
Yeah.
And I would just cut them into strips and do them in the skillet. A lot of air drying back then. So my fridge had racks on the bottom with chuck roast just sitting on it with like a little cheesecloth or paper towel over top. It's funny how just through the years, my own life has changed too. So I didn't have kids back then. I had a lot more fridge space. And, you know, then once I started having kids, I started eating a lot more burger patties, almost exclusively burger patties for the majority of a decade.
Kelly, I love you. I do the same thing. I just eat ground beef because it's cheap.
It's cheap. And it was easy. And it just couldn't be beat. And so I started calling them my meat cookies because people at work walk in, new people would say, is that a cookie? I was like, yes, it's a meat cookie.
Burgers are so good. Like burger patties are so delicious. And I never get tired of eating the same thing every single day. every single day. I mean, I'm glad that you saying that you did it for a decade, because I do it and I do my videos and I show people like what I eat and I'm like, okay, sorry, it's ground beef again. It's ground beef again. It's ground beef again. And then now I'm going to do a lamb only challenge. It's ground lamb.
I don't want to make anything else. For 10 years, I don't care what day of the week it was. If you ask me, what do you eat? I would say 6 to 8 burger patties per day. And if we went out to
six
eat,
to eight order, burger patties a day.
Yeah.
So how many pounds is that a day?
1.5 to 2 pounds. They were quarter pounders.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Every day. It's just what I did.
And does your husband then and now eat carnivore?
No, neither. Neither then nor that. Now, probably never. But I think if he ever has a real health concern, he believes in it. He's seen what it's done to me, but he's one of those moderators who's like, he really can. He's a legitimate moderator. He can buy some sugary, like, box of pastries, have one, and they'll literally spoil and he'll throw them out. Like,
yeah.
How though?
I know.
How can you just have one?
I know people like that as well, that can just have a bite of cookie and say, meh, that's fine. I'm not going to have it. I'll have that bite of cookie. I literally bought a box of Krispy Kreme and ate the whole thing.
I've done it. I did too. Yeah. He would never do that.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, he would be shocked. Like, oh my God.
And then you almost feel like, what's wrong with us that we're doing that? But it's not us. It's the addiction. It's a sugar addiction. And for some people, they actually don't have the sugar addiction. For others, they actually do. And you feel bad. It's like, why can't I control this sugar? And somebody else can just have a bite and they look at you like, why are you binging on sugar? Yeah. It's embarrassing.
We really are the norm, though, is what I think I am finding out. Is in today's world of processed foods, where they are legitimately, these foods are being designed to be as addictive as humanly possible, with additives and just the perfect amount of pushing the limits on fat, on salt, and on sugar, that combo.
Yeah.
For the sake of getting the consumer as hooked as possible.
It's so true.
We are the norm. Those people who can truly resist that, very unusual. And you think about, what if everybody started smoking a pack of cigarettes per day? How many people would be able to moderate? There might be a few who can moderate cigarettes. The majority will be hooked, because that's what they're designed to do.
It's chemicals. It's addiction. Yeah. It feeds your addiction pathways. Even I watched your most recent video where you actually spoke about processed foods and sugar addiction. Yes. You did an amazing job just explaining why. What's the reason why they're addicting us, and how they go through the lengths and the marketing that they do to try to addict us?
Yeah. If anybody wanted our children to be healthier, they would be putting colorful packaging and little toys on the healthy foods in the store. But it is the most dye-filled, colorful, sugar-coated garbage is the only thing, with all the little toys and the bright cartoon characters all over it. No one, they're not out to get our children healthy. They're out to get our children hooked.
I think a lot of people do know, like, the middle of the aisles is where you shouldn't be going. And the outside of the aisles is where the healthy food is. But that's where a lot of vegetables and fruit are, which is confusing.
Yeah. And, you know, some people tolerate their plant toxins better than others, right?
Yeah.
So for me, fiber, some people... I meet people who say, wow, you don't have fiber. I feel so great with all that fiber. I'm like, really? Cause that tore me to pieces. But, you know, some people can tolerate more fiber than other people. I do better, obviously, with zero of it. None of the carbs, none of the fiber, none of the plant toxins. I think a lot of people who think they feel good eating that way have maybe never tried anything else.
Yes.
So that could be part of it. But also, I guarantee you, some of them handle it better than I used to. Though I was really sick, I was getting my rear end chopped open, right? Like, I'm not handling my carbs.
And these are vegetables, they're meant to be healthy for us, and we're meant to be eating like 5 or 8 servings a day. But I was literally feeling, why is my stomach so distended? Why am I feeling so uncomfortable every time that I would eat? When I started carnivore, I was like, oh my God.
I know. When people ask me, why do you eat this way? Like, if you could just for one moment step into my body and have a memory of what eating used to feel like and what I felt like afterwards. I would alternate between like explosive bathroom trips versus horrible constipation. Which
before Carnival or during Carnival?
Before Carnivore, back really? When I used to eat all of my fiber all the time. And, and constipation was definitely a thing in my family. I remember older women in my family like saying, oh no, I've got to go to the bathroom. And it was a thing. And when people say like, oh, how do you poop without fiber? Like, please step in and remember with me. And now know what it is like now, because it's nothing. You can just say, got to go to the bathroom. Well,
yeah,
that's that.
I thought that I needed to have fiber, and then went Carnivore and I go to the bathroom every day, even easier yes. than before. Not everybody needs to do Carnivore. You don't always have to go zero carb. Start somewhere like low carb and yes. then see how you go. Your start point is here. Your end point is somewhere different for different people. And that's okay. Not everybody has to be Carnivore. And that's what's great about you and great about the others in this Carnivore lifestyle, is that you don't have to. It's not the be all and end all of health. It works for some people, a lot of people, but for other people, it might not be what's appropriate.
It may not be, even if I think, oh, this would be a great direction for a lot of people to go. Many folks can, on that spectrum, like you were saying, gain excellent health somewhere along the way.
Yes.
And that may be exactly where they feel like, wow, I feel really great just yes. cutting out this, this, and this. I feel much better.
Yes.
And then, you know, for those of us who feel our really best going all the way straight up, well, I still have coffee. So there's still some room. There's still some people to the right of me on that spectrum too.
Yeah.
If I didn't feel fantastic with coffee, I would cut it out. But, you know, sometimes along the way, I feel like, well, I feel great. I love drinking my coffee. I think I want to keep it right now. And I've done it without, but, you know, so I understand, I guess what I'm saying is that I really do understand that somewhere along the way, you think this is great for me. So that's what I'm going to keep in my life. Yeah. But for people who really are miserable, when I think back to myself at age 24, I was miserable. If they really don't know, I'm so glad that, you know, that you're out here and that you invited me along with you as well to just at least let people know this could be the direction that you need to go, and just try. And you never know if you'll feel better unless you try.
And it's that scale of like, just try lowering your carbs. Try if you're eating the standard American diet, standard Australian diet, try going off those processed foods. Because even the way that your brain feels, how you sleep better, how your emotions are regulated. If you have clients come to you and they ask about calories, what do you say to them?
Okay, so the biggest use that I have for calories right now is that when women start carnivore, I find that they eat very little. They're still used to eating very small portions of what probably would have been an appropriate steak for a woman before carnivore. And so they cut out all the carbs and they're like, now I will still have a very appropriate size steak. Well, without everything else on the plate, you're going to need a very large steak most likely. And I think women have a hard time eating a steak bigger than their husband or eating a steak. And so they stick to this little amount. And so I ask women, as long as somebody's feeling great, by the way, if somebody's like, wow, I'm losing weight, I feel wonderful, I wouldn't count anything. I don't even mention a calorie, because who cares?
Yes.
Just eat. But if someone says, you know, I've been doing this for a few months and my weight isn't changing and I really am not sleeping that great, and my, you know, I'm having some hair loss, whatever the issue is, that's when I want to know, do you have any idea how much you are eating per day? And honest to goodness, I've asked this of so many women, and they will very often come back and say like 1100 or 1200 calories. Because, and it's easy for most people in carnivore to calculate, much easier than when you're eating a whole bunch of recipes with a million ingredients.
Yes.
They literally know, they go to the store and buy 1 pound of ground beef, and that's all you ate for a day.
Yes.
Is one little pound. And they say, but it was a whole pound.
Yes.
It's on the package. Do the math. That's 1100 calories. that's not enough to fuel my toddler. Well, she's 6 now. She eats more than that. She's not a toddler now, but she ate more than that even as a toddler. So then I will ask them, okay, to go to a TDEE, a total daily energy expenditure calculator, and figure out what should someone approximately eat who is your age, size, with your activity level. They'll normally come back and say, oh my gosh, it says like 1900 or some people well over 2000 calories. And they say, but I'm not losing weight, so I can't eat more. Oh yes, sister friend. Yes, you can. Because some folks who are eating this 1100 calories for months and months, they are not losing an ounce, and they won't. Their body is hoarding every little morsel of nutrition that it can get, and you are not going to lose weight. Yes. And so this is where the phrase reverse dieting comes in. Some people call it all in carnivore. Just eat for a while, because your appetite is likely going to, I think what it is too, is women are used to living with an edge of hunger that they feel is normal, because we've never truly been able to just eat. I think a lot of women, and I've done this plenty in my life as well, stop while you still would actually like to have some more.
If it tastes good, like, keep eating.
I've knocked the edge off of my hunger, so I'm full.
Yeah.
And that's not actually like satisfied. Your body would still like more meat. So I encourage women, if your body would still like some more, then I would have some more, not for the purpose of overstuffing. You don't need to be uncomfortable, especially for binge eaters, you know, getting used to the idea of I'm very comfortably full.
Yes.
Is a good feeling for most people to get to, and hard to get used to.
Yes.
If you're not there. Cause a lot of us were either starving or like sick. We had eaten so much.
Yeah.
Restrict and binge. But somewhere in the middle was like, I actually have had my fill and I feel good.
And that's a hard thing to get to, especially if you have an eating disorder background. If you have a restrictive eating background, the permission to eat enough, it's actually really hard psychologically to accept. I know you would understand that. I would understand that. But even a lot of people, like, they could just go carnivore and just think, oh yeah, I can lose weight and have great health. For me, I can still binge on carnivore foods. That's not meat. Even in my coffee, I have a bit of heavy cream, and that's okay. I still have the heavy cream. One time I drank it out of the thing. That wasn't good.
No, I get in trouble with that. I actually have a commitment on my fridge. Oh, yes.
Really? Yes.
Total trigger food for me. If I drink it out of the carton, it's very hard for me to stop, and I will end up feeling sick afterwards. It is a trigger binge food for me, heavy cream. Yeah. But if it is a very moderate, like spoonful, I have to have a rule about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I will put one spoon in my coffee, then it's safe and it's okay. I allow 5 dairy days per month for that reason.
So what do you include in your dairy days?
Heavy cream. So normally I drink my coffee black, but on those 5 days of the month, I will add some cream to my coffee or eat an egg pudding that's made with cream and eggs.
Ooh.
A little bit of cheese.
It's not sweet, is it, the egg pudding?
It's not sweet, but I just love it so much. But it's a trigger food for me too. When I say trigger food, somebody who hasn't dealt with binge eating might not understand that. What it mean, and it's fine. It doesn't kill me. It's a carnivore food, so it's fine. If I were to eat a truck ton of it in a day, I would be okay. But like you said, I do not feel my best.
Yeah.
And I really like feeling great. If it were 5 sugar days of the month, could I moderate that? No, I could not. So there are some things, you know, everybody just has to know themselves. There are social drinkers out there that can moderate alcohol to only parties. And then there are some people where if they have one drink, they're going to have to go back, you know, to like a home. So know thyself. If you do great with dairy, enjoy, have some for me, but I have to really moderate that.
I did a very interesting interview with Stephanie Person, and we're talking about fasting, and she is not into fasting.
Correct.
And boy, was the comments very controversial around fasting is great and autophagy and all these benefits. For you, do you fast? Do you naturally fast? Do you count the hours? Are you strict around that?
I can tell you what I do, but I'm also going to tell you why that's not going to work for some people. For the last many years, I do not feel hungry for meat until about 11 o'clock. And at 11 o'clock, I eat typically at least 1 pound of meat. And then I do the same thing at dinner, typically another pound of meat. And then I don't eat again until about 11 o'clock. So that would be considered intermittent fasting by a lot of people. There are days when I do wake up hungry and I have no issues at all with scrambling some extra. I scramble eggs for my family every single day. So I just throw in 5 extra for me and then I'll have eggs if I'm hungry. But some days I really just don't want it. Most days, actually, I'm just fine until 11. The reason that would be not great for some people, there are folks who do go through restrict and binge cycles far worse than I ever did. And any amount of fasting can trigger that for them. So there are people who I really think do better. Oh, and if someone is trying to fix leptin sensitivity issues, if they're leptin resistant and have a very hard time knowing, like, am I full? Am I hungry? It can be really helpful to have 3 solid meals per day until some of that gets corrected. And then they can start to realize, maybe I'm not truly hungry. Maybe I'm truly full. That comes with time. But I think for a while, it's almost like feeding a puppy. You have some set meal times. You sort of follow those rules for a while. And especially if somebody has a history of eating disorders, I would really encourage people to stay away from fasting, because fasting can feel exactly like restricting. And that's the cycle. Restrict. And then comes the crazy binging, restrict and the crazy binging. And if you can stop the cycle with not restricting and just have a steady flow of nutrition, then it can help people with that background get out of it. And then there are other people where their issue is constant all day eating for emotional reasons. So they're snackers. In their case, it actually could be helpful to have some windows set up to say, 2 to 3 meals per day, and I will not eat in between. So we just have all such different backgrounds that for me to say,
I totally agree. And that's why it's so hard to have like a one size fits all, like a carnivore, keto, fasting, intermittent fasting. Given the fact that your family's not doing carnivore, how do you maintain your lifestyle? Because that's a big thing for people.
It is. And in that group, Zeroing In on Health still is run by Charles Washington, and Dana Spencer is still there. She runs Zero Carb Health now, but she was a huge part of that original group. Dr. Lisa Wiedemann, Amber O'Hearn, some names, they're still around. We have been friends ever since then. And in fact, some of us used to talk, my gosh, we had a chat thread at one point that was probably 10 bajillion pages long, because we talked all day, every day. It didn't matter what happened. It was just, we were all the moderators at Zeroing In on Health. Aww. I'm not as active there now. And honestly, neither is Charles. I keep turning my camera because I want to be in the middle. And then I remember I have a trash can there. Okay, there we go.
That's okay.
So I've talked to these people daily. Some, you know, daily I'm talking and interacting with carnivores, and now I have my own groups where I have a whole screen full of carnivores.
What's your groups? Tell us, what's your groups?
So I do 5 Zoom calls per week with my groups, and each group has 30 people. They only see their own 30. So it's small group instead of, you know, a large interaction. I just prefer 30 or less. I was an elementary music teacher for 20 years. And so 30 or less, just like what I was used to, that feels really good to me.
Yeah.
And that's what I keep it to in my groups too. Anyway, that support that I got online was everything. Because, you know, my husband was eating junk. My kids eat much closer to how I do. I buy the food, so of course they do. You know, they're easy. The husband is the troublemaker around here.
Do you know what I mean?
He had to keep peanut butter out of our house for probably like 8 years. I could not have it in this house.
Why do you think peanut butter is such an, like, for me, peanut butter is more addictive than sugar?
It is still my Achilles heel.
If I ever
go back to a carb, I can almost guarantee you. Let's say I'm 90 years old and I'm like, you know what? I think I just want a carb. It's going to be peanut butter. I don't know if I think it's a few things. I have definitely given this thought. It is very high in fat. It is very salty. Those two things alone, Plus, it does have, even if you buy the natural, which I always did, with no added sugar, but there was definitely a sweetness there that was just enough that was like, but I also think it was a mental thing of it used to be considered okay. In other words, there was a time in my life where it wasn't like donuts. That was never even considered okay in my mind. Mm. But peanut butter with no sugar was like, it had kind of a healthy vibe to it. Like, yeah, it's just peanuts. And so I think it mentally gave me permission to be like, it should be safe. There is nothing safe about peanut butter to me. It would be gone. Yeah.
And that's the other thing that I would do. Things that are so-called healthy, I would think, oh, I can have a lot of it.
Yes.
Because it's healthy. It's the same, a little bit the same as coffee. I really tried to give up coffee for 30 days, and I did. I didn't feel that much different, as you said, right?
Oh, no, I really didn't. And I did it for more than 30 days because I kept getting pregnant. My first several months as carnivore, I told you, was strict, just beef and water. And then I got pregnant in about month, I guess around the 8th month of carnivore. So then I certainly didn't add coffee back then at that point, right? So it was like, wow, I'm feeling great. Oh, yay, I'm pregnant. All right, I did not add back coffee. Then I was nursing. So it was, I mean, it just, and then by the time my daughter was starting to wean at age 1, I was already pregnant again. I got pregnant when she was 12 months old. So, and then I was nursing him for 21 months. So I, when I tell people I did years of carnivore,
wow,
I know, right? And then my oldest
child. That's really good because most people nurse for a year.
My oldest didn't wean completely till she was 2.5.
But breast milk is, it's the best thing for kids. Like the longer, the better.
Yeah, if for women who can do it, it can be such a great thing. It is such also, it is a really hard thing. And for some women, I know so many women who said, I literally couldn't. Like, you know, they could only squeak out the tiniest amount. So I do, I'm with you. Breast milk, if you can do it, it is such a great thing. And for women who can't, you know, thank goodness there are other
alternatives. Even with like carnivore and especially with pregnancy, there is a lot of unknowns and people must be very concerned around like the efficacy, the safety, how can you be carnivore? And I'm sure a lot of fertility doctors are not that much aware of carnivore for pregnancy.
Right. So I think you're right. I think it is starting to be more accepted. In fact, I've heard it described as the fertility diet, though. High, high fat. I have never been so nervous about carnivore as the first time I got pregnant. I really believed in it by that point, and yet I still was having some doubts because I didn't know anyone personally who had done it. And when everybody says, you know, you're going to get horrible, oh gosh, what is the issue? I can't even think of it now. It's a terrible, hemorrhoids. People would say, the doctor, my OBGYN would say, if you are not eating the rainbow and lots of fiber, you are going to end up, women who are pregnant get awful hemorrhoids. I was like, well, that does not sound good. But I'm also thinking, this is the diet that cured my digestion problems. Why am I going to screw that up right now?
I think that you have a lot of confidence to actually challenge that as well, because you, a lot of people would be very scared if like an obstetrician said or a gynecologist said that you're going to get hemorrhoids. It's not like, maybe it's not the best for you. Eat the rainbow. They'd probably listen to that advice, at least if they're just pregnant.
Yeah. And when they say all of the nutrients that you get from these plants is what's best for growing your baby. And you're like, oh my gosh, I've wanted this baby so long. I would do anything. This motherly instinct of I will do anything to protect this baby kicks in. And I was in panic mode. So I went, talk about support. I shared this doctor visit that was so scary to me on Zeroing In on Health. And Charles Washington said, are you a human? Yes. Is your baby a human? Yes, let's hope so. And then he says, what makes you think that the diet that made you as an adult human, that reduced your inflammation, made you feel so good, fixed your digestion, did all of this, what makes you think that that would be wrong for your tiny baby human? True. And then he brought in the history of, you do know that you are not the first woman to just eat meat. You might be the first one you know, But, you know, Dr. Anthony Chaffee is so good to talk about, you know, the people groups that just lived this way and they were fertile and they made babies and they went on for generations, and that wouldn't have been possible if their diet was trash. Like, that's good to know. Good to know. And so it all gave me, I guess, that fortitude to just say, okay, this was best for me. I'm just going to have to pray and trust that it's best for this baby too. And it worked out.
Well, for those that don't know how they can find you, how can they find the lovely Kelly Hogan?
Oh, thank you. I'm on Instagram. It's Kelly_Hogan91. And from there, if you go, there's a little link tree where you can click links. And I have a YouTube channel, which is My Zero Carb Life. And I do the small group coaching if anybody is interested in that. Oh, and if somebody really feels like I am the only one that eats that way, that's the beauty of a group like that, is you look and we'll sometimes just say, somebody says, I feel like I was so weird being at that social event last night. I was the only one eating meat, only meat. And so I'll just sometimes say, does anyone here eat only meat? Of course, everyone, hands go up. Does anyone here ever eat a pound of meat at a time? Hands go up. To see the screen covered in people who do exactly what you do, it will literally rewire your brain to realize I am not alone. These people all do it like this. How many of you feel better eating this way? Boop. How many of you got rid of IBS eating this way? And you know, there's so many people out there that can completely relate. It's not just that you and I have a lot in common. We do, but almost everybody.
There's a lot of people like us. And when we meet people that are like, even when I'm connecting with you, I'm like, oh my God, I sound like Kelly Hogan. I have the same story. And there's going to be hundreds more people in the same boat that you almost feel like, am I alone? And is this my own story? No. So many people are the same.
And that's really good for mirror neurons in your brain to see other people in your brain to go, hey, it's not just me. There are a lot of people who feel better this way, and it just confirms what your body is already telling you. And it just makes it that much easier to do what's right for you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time, Kelly. I know my audience is going to love this interview. You are a joy and an infectious, beautiful personality, and hopefully we'll see you back on my channel soon.